Welcome to the Campervancast, the podcast where Dan and Lee will take you step by step through the process of choosing, buying, repairing, maintaining, and converting your very own campervan, all via the wonderful medium of audio. And we're going to be filming it too, so you can watch it on the Coombe Valley Campers YouTube channel. This week, we'll be discussing buying versus self-building a campervan.
That is right, and there's lots of advantages to both. But first, a big talking point in the campervan world this week has been it's featured on George Clark's Amazing Spaces.
Did you watch?
Oh, we nearly asked the same question at the same time then. Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did. Yeah, it was all over Facebook and Instagram. That it's a black... So for those who haven't watched it, George Clark's Amazing Spaces on...
Channel 4.
Channel 4 Thursday.
Yeah.
Was it Thursday? They filmed a guy who has a T4 double cab. And he bought a plain T4 van for an engine conversion.
Yeah.
Once he whipped the engine out, he converted it into what is effectively a caravan.
Yeah, he was a HGV driver.
Yeah.
So it all started with he knew how the brackets worked to interlock them. I think that's what it was
focusing
on.
Yeah, it's called a fifth wheel,
yeah.
I think, when you've got that towing point on top of the, like above the axles. It's called a fifth wheel, I'm sure it is.
Oh, okay. And then from there, he just went, right, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
And what was your thoughts on it?
I thought it was very clever. Now, I'm sure you've seen the pictures on the internet of somebody split a bay window bus in half and put it on the back of a pickup, and people have done the same with a splitty, or at least, you know, photoshopped it on the back of a splitty, and someone's now actually executed it, but they've done it with a T4. And I think it was very good. I think it was original. It was carried out very well from what I could see. Obviously, you can't see all the finer details when things are on camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, made for a TV program. But the design was there, the idea was there, and the end result looked awesome. And I love the use of the gullwing door on the side. I think
yeah,
that was great.
I wasn't expecting that when he pulled the handle. I was like, oh.
And it was solenoid powered as well.
Yeah.
So it was an electric ram. An actuator, is that what they're called? I'm sure they are. And instead of lifting the door with the assistance of hydraulic rams, it was an electric ram that... slowly pushed the door up, which I thought was great. And I've actually toyed with the idea of making a fifth wheel type thing for the back of our double cab, because it's a perfect situation. You know,
yeah.
You've got a vehicle that seats five to go away with, and much like towing a caravan behind your car in a regular situation, you can park your caravan on site and then disappear for the day in your car.
Yeah, it does have that advantage. The one thing I thought with it is it didn't actually gain that much more space, in my opinion, than an actual camper van, because it slept four.
Yeah.
When a camper van with a extra pop top, you can do that quite easily anyway. So in that sense, the space it did. I don't know if I was expecting more, but when I looked in it and I was like, there's a sort of a bed at the back, kitchen unit. It was sort of sort of thing there, wasn't it?
I think if I was to do that, I would have potentially put a pop top in it. I think that would have been a really good way to maybe create a bit more space and the headroom. Because obviously in a caravan, you've got the headroom. In a T4, you don't. So, you know, I think he might have even mentioned that was one of the things he might want to do in the future. I can't remember now. But, really good. Was it worth the money? Don't know. He did it all himself.
Yeah, he did it all himself. I think it was like
11 grand.
10 or 11.
And I said to Dom, I said, Christ, well, I can see where at least 4 grand of that went. And that was in the wheels and tyres. You know, BF Goodrich.
Yeah.
KO2s, which are the all-terrains, and he's got them on Weller or banded steel or something like that. Those tyres are 200... No, I would say they're anywhere between 150 and 200 quid a corner.
Yeah.
Plus the wheels a corner, and he had six of them.
Yeah.
Plus, I think the T4 that he was using as the tow vehicle was lowered, and so he'd lifted it to match the height of the trailer that he'd built. So he'd gone for a totally different look, and I think if we're talking... he's gone 11 grand all in, and that's changed the the appearance of his vehicle, the driving style of his vehicle, and the trailer. Then, I don't know, that's kind of pocket change, really,
yeah,
in terms
I think the
of
sliding
building
door,
a camper.
The sliding door added to that. Obviously, if he'd have kept that, it wouldn't have been as much. But then you don't know what the sliding door was in the state and why he did it.
If he paid somebody to do it, how much would that have cost him?
What, a custom job like that? I wouldn't even
maybe
know
add
where
another
to
10.
Start. Yeah.
Maybe add another 10. And I guess that is one of the things we're going to lead nicely into, which is our topic of the day, the pros and cons of buying a camper van that is complete versus building your own.
Yeah, and I guess that would be the first point, as we just left on, is the price. Now, firstly, he went over budget. Mm-hmm. So that's some...
By seven?
By more than, yeah. I think George Clark himself said it was like 120% over, yeah. Which is quite a jump. So, yeah, it's a lot harder to stay on budget, mm-hmm. I'd say, if you're building your own, because you're absolutely. Starting from a point where you're maybe not sure what you need to buy, potentially.
When people have self-built in the past or asked me advice about self-building, I have likened it to building or rebuilding a house.
Yeah.
So if you buy your first house or a house to renovate, definitely double it.
Yeah, yeah.
Double your budget, or at least add 25%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what do they say when you're building a house? Double it and then times it by half, or something like that.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, but you've
it,
certainly
yeah.
got to account. You've
We've
got to
all
have
watched
some,
Homes Under the Hammer, haven't we?
You've certainly got to account for more. And Joe, you've raised a really good point. We've just mentioned George Clark's Amazing Spaces, which is what are people doing in that program?
Building amazing
building homes.
Tiny spaces, yeah.
Building homes in tiny spaces,
yeah.
right? So it's a home. And now you've just mentioned Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah.
And what people do fail to realise, you are making effectively an apartment inside the back of your vehicle, especially if you want it to have a bed,
yeah.
to have a sofa, a table, hob, sink, fridge, storage space, a second bedroom.
Yeah.
And then people get us and go, it's taken you a little while.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's 100 reasons why things take a long time, especially
yeah.
in our case.
Making podcasts.
Making podcasts and YouTube videos. Yeah, but you are effectively making a property within your vehicle.
Yeah.
You've got to have water and drainage and power, and if you want solar and things like that. And then people want that property to be self-contained and off-grid as well. So there's more expense into that.
Yeah, and I think the expense as well is the lightweight side of things as well. When you're... A lot of the reason we don't use general household appliances like the fridges and mm-hmm. just items you'd find in the house is because the camper van specific things are half the weight, which is obviously very...
Size. Yeah.
Which is very important when you're dealing with a vehicle that has limits.
Definitely. Definitely. But so, yeah, that's a great big factor. Well, it's a huge point that you've got to consider if you are buying a camper van. If you are buying a camper van, you're effectively buying a second home on wheels. And if you're building a camper van, you are building a second home on wheels.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where do we go from there? Do we look into the skills required, the money it's going to take, or how did you want to lead it first?
I think one of the things is... the advantages of each, because they both have their advantages. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can either talk solely in the first half about building your own and then go on to buy-in, or we mm-hmm. can sort of compare them side by side as we go.
Yeah.
I mean, probably dip and go into
all
we'll
of
the
above.
Yeah, we'll
swap and change for sure. And we want it to be the pros and cons, so we've definitely got to look into the arguments for both, for definite.
Yeah, so we've talked about the price of building it your own.
Mm-hmm.
The price of buying one.
Yeah, it's... I've said in like the Q&A Wednesdays and things that we do like that as well, especially when speaking to customers, what roof do I buy? What van do I buy? Base vehicle do I buy? Which bed do I buy? And all the time it is buy the best you can afford. And I guess that goes with buying a self-built camper van or buying a pre-built camper van, be that a classic or a new one. If you really have no inclination to doing... any servicing work, any maintenance work, any modifications, you are not that way inclined, or you don't have the tools or the space to do that, you've got to factor in a budget that is going to...
eliminate those.
Well, it's got to account for... You've got to decide what you want, and we spoke about that in the last episode, didn't we? Why have a camper van? Because it gives you all of these things. And now we're looking into... Well, the next stage is, I want a camper van, what am I going to buy, a camper or... a self-build. But you've got, if you are buying that camper, think about the things you want.
Yeah, and I think that's when you're buying one that from a dealer or someone that's listing,
mm-hmm.
you don't have the options. So you might be spending £20,000 on that van,
mm-hmm.
and it might be £5,000 worth of extras that you're never going to use, you have no intention of using, but because they're being sold with that van,
mm-hmm.
you've got to have them. So that's a cost that you would save on. So, for example... me and you, we're not too keen on interior hobs in our vans.
Yeah.
We do most of our cooking outside. So if we were to go and buy... This makes it sound like we're going to buy one together now, doesn't it?
Never say never.
Never know. So if we were to individually go and buy ourselves a van, I don't think that would be a point that we'd be looking at, but you'd find it difficult to go and buy yourself an off-the-shelf camper that doesn't have a hob in it. So that's one of the things that, I guess, if you're self-building, you've got the ability to have whatever you want in there to a limit, obviously with budget and other things, but you've also got the option to have to remove things that you don't want or feel you have a need for.
So then when you're buying a built camper, you've almost got to accept that there is only a limited amount of design.
Yeah,
unless you're paying to have one custom built,
yeah,
you have got to accept the fact that you are going to have a set design that may not be 100% to your liking.
Yeah, I mean, most companies we've seen that offer sort of out-the-box campers, so to speak, they typically have a range of about four or five different sort of variations. And when you think the different things people are using them for, they don't sort of fulfill everyone's needs, do they?
That's right.
that's one of the main things, I think, is the customization of building your own.
And it's one of the things people have spoken to me about in the past. Being converters ourselves, they've said, I've even had people approach me and go, right, I want, we're going to start a business together, or we're going to start a range of camper vans together.
Yeah.
We're going to buy a bunch of T5s or T6s, we're going to convert them all the same, and we're just going to sell them for money.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. I have zero interest in that because, like you've just mentioned, it might not have the requirements that, you know, customer A, B, and C need.
Yeah.
I could have quite easily, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, sorry, when we started the business, we could have quite easily said, right, I'm just going to do T5s, T6s, or VW-based fans. I'm just going to put in four types of interior and I'm going to offer them in three different colours.
Yeah,
job
yeah.
done. No.
Yeah.
We've always said that we build custom, we speak to the people individually,
yeah,
we will find out their needs, and then we build a camper van based on their needs and requirements.
And you can tell, yeah, and we can tell that with the last sort of three vans that have left us. They've all been different ages,
yeah,
different family circumstances,
yeah,
and different interests.
Yeah.
And the vans have reflected that. They've been completely different on the one that the person who has a family has a pop top with a bed up there, whereas the couple that came in, they've just got a rock and roll bed and a little bit of storage and a heater. Yeah, and a heater. So it does have that ability to completely change bearing on your needs.
But then when you are buying that van, if you can accept that it might not be 100% perfect, I guess it's much like buying a house.
Yeah.
Unless you build your own home, which a very small percentage of people actually do.
Yeah.
It's not going to fit your requirements straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
You might want to put an extension. You might want to go in the loft. You might want to change the kitchen, etc. You know, so there's that acceptance that if you've bought a camper van, be it 6 months old, 6 weeks old, or 16 years old,
yeah,
you may well have to, in the future, adapt it, customize it to make it suit your needs better. Again, much like buying a home,
because
this is now an extra home, be it, we'll just call it a holiday home, isn't it? Holiday home on wheels is your camper van. So, yeah, you've got to, if you are going to go down that route then of buying your van straight off either the forecourt, or, you know, I've typed in camper van into Facebook Marketplace or into eBay, and I see the nearest van available that's a camper, and I go, okay, that's cool, it fits my budget, it's kind of what I want.
Yeah.
But you might have to accept that you're going to have to change that or repair it or fix it.
Well, I think that's the thing, there's different branches off of that as well. Because if you're buying one brand new and it's from a dealer, I mean, we can say that most of them are going to be done to a good standard, you'd hope. The engines are typically either brand new vehicles or very low mileage. So you'd hope, again, that there's not going to be anything wrong with that. So you can afford to put the money there and go, well, it's been built by a reputable company. It's got maybe a 4 month warranty. Let's go and buy that. If you're buying one second hand, we've all seen it, haven't we? Someone's bought a van second hand. It looks great when you stood far away. And the closer you get, you start seeing more things, and you get inside and you pull the bed out and there's a leisure system that looks like Spaghetti Junction. And that's where we need to be careful as well when we're buying a second hand van, because you must have seen your fair share of sort of...
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of horror stories going on. And I think without delving too much into a future episode, which is going to be things to look out for when buying a van or choosing a van. You've got to accept that, again, depending on your budget, you might buy somebody who's built a camper van themselves.
Yeah.
and it may not be up to your standard. It may not be up to anybody's standard, to be honest. It might be a complete death trap on wheels. And funny enough, we were discussing this last night, weren't we, mate? We'd watched, or a YouTube video had been shared around about a couple who had a complete horror story with a van. And again, we'll go into what to look for, but they'd basically bought, they say a scam. They said they bought it from a scammer. I don't think it was a scam. I don't know, what do you regard as a scam? It's basically they bought a van that had an illegitimate MOT on it, and they spent 38 quid, I think, to have this checked independently from another mechanics, and they went, it shouldn't be on the road.
Yeah.
So there's things like that.
We touched on that a little bit in the last one, and again, we touched on it for ones always sort of take someone along that knows, but that's one of the risks with buying one already done. It's, you don't know its history. Mm-hmm. Unless you know who's owned it, or it's been owned by, I know, caddies. You see the blue little caddies, and most of them are ex-British Gas ones.
That's right.
And you know that they've probably been fairly well serviced, and they'll have loads of paperwork
AA
with it.
AA vehicles as well,
they're good ones to go for. Unless you can see with sort of solid paperwork, or know the persons who's owned it, a lot of people inherit camper vans from their father or stuff like that, then you can't be too sure. And you've got to look at it in the sense of not, wow, this is amazing, I'm going to go here, here and here. But you need to look at it in sense of, right, what could be potentially wrong, and what,
and there's the risk.
Yeah,
there's the risk. And if you are buying anything used, you do your research first.
Yeah,
you take somebody with you who knows what they're looking at, or you speak to the seller, be that private or trade, and say, "I'm going to take this to have an independent inspection." If they say no, leave. Don't even consider buying that vehicle from
that
person.
That's a good point, yeah.
But if they're happy for you to go and take it to an independent person, then, you know, you would like to think that they're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
Which is really important, because they're, and again, since March last year, I'm going to say summer last year, which is summer 2020, the market for camper vans has blown up. And there's lots of people, much like COVID, much like anything really, there's always people out there to try and make a quick buck and screw you over at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's no different when it comes to camper vans.
Yeah.
Like these people who we spoke about just a minute ago with this camper van. It was shiny on the outside, but full of holes and full of rust and mechanical problems underneath. So going straight back to the beginning then, buy the best you can afford when it comes to buying your own.
Yeah.
Except that it won't be exactly to your needs. Be prepared to do some work to change that spec to your requirements.
Yeah.
And be wary of buying used, I guess. But the pros of that, so they're almost the cons. It's the advice and the cons,
I guess.
Yeah,
it's just what to look out for, really,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So I definitely think a con of buying one that is used, or buying one that is pre-built, is that it's not exactly to your specification, unless you've ordered it.
But on the flip side of that, if you're sat here thinking, I'd love a camper van, I'd like to go away a bit, but I don't really know what I'm going to use it for. Like, I might have a slight idea, but if you can find a van that is a good base vehicle, that's got a basic camper interior, that isn't asking for an astronomical amount of money, you can buy that vehicle, trial it out for a year or so, and then decide to modify it from there.
Absolutely. Rip it all out, start again.
Yeah, or rip it out and start again, or take the parts that can be used.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's got a fridge in there, just put that to the side, keep it safe. If it's got a hob in there, keep that safe. And you've got all those parts, might even be able to use the bed again, and modify it to how you then feel your circumstances have changed.
Mm-hmm. And I think I can see where this is going. Because one of our Patreon supporters had put exactly that down. When we put it out to those listening, we have a Patreon supporter group, I guess. And what we'll do before podcasts and YouTube videos and Q&As and things like that, we'll put the question out to them, and potentially on social media, and we'll say, let us know what your pros and cons are, or why you built versus bought. And you've got a little story there, haven't you?
There is John Harkness.
Yeah.
He's one of our Australian followers.
Uh-huh.
And
hey, John, how you doing?
He said he bought a 2003 T4 diesel, was looking for something I could do. It was partially converted. If you call one USB plug that doesn't work, shocking yellow material stuck to the walls, and a bed that you wouldn't even make your mother-in-law sleep in. So he obviously wasn't too sure of it, but he still went along with it. And yes, he had it for a bit, and then he has insulated it, sound deadened, carpeted, added the second battery, I'm guessing that USB point was trying to run off a vehicle battery at some point.
Potentially, yeah.
And he's fitted electrics, storage, a bed, and a few other bits and pieces. And he's doing his new maiden trip next week. So,
well,
obviously they're Australian.
Good luck.
Yeah, they're able to go out travel at the moment. It's a little bit difficult for us.
Yeah, my brother lives over in Melbourne, and fortunately, because of his job, he's a lorry driver and a freight driver, and because of lockdown, like I say, he's been able to still do his work, but they were under lockdown. I can't even tell you the amount of weeks, but it was a long time. They're on like quarantined lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result, you know, whereas we have 30,000 cases a day in this country, they get shocked when they have three.
Oh, wow.
So, so the fact that now John and
it's
his camper
why he's
van,
had so much time to build his van.
Yeah, so this is why John can now get out next week. So, best of luck with that, mate. And I'm sure there was one more, and I think he spoke about, was it having a Rymo converted van or something similar?
There's a few that are very similar. We had about sort of six or seven comments. Mm. The one that you're probably thinking of is Steve. No last name from Steve.
Yeah.
It was a Holdsworth conversion.
That's it. Yeah,
and it was 28 years old. It started feeling a bit dated, so they redid everything.
Yeah.
He updated the furniture, the appliances, the electrics. Started that at the end of October. And, yeah, our videos were what inspired him. And he helped, yeah, he started with the ply and the electrics. So,
brilliant.
Yeah.
So another result of somebody who bought a camper van, and in this case it was a T3 or a Type 25 as they're known in the UK, a Holdsworth conversion. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it
yeah,
says.
Holdsworth.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're Type 25 based. And as we all know, you know, any furniture, you wouldn't have a 30-year-old kitchen in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, you might, but if you do, it's about time it's probably changed. And it goes the same with camper vans. You know, after 30 years, the lining on the wall starts to deteriorate and turn to dust.
Yeah.
The cupboards and the furniture might be water damaged. You definitely want to change the beds and the foam.
The cushions, yeah.
Because foam degrades over time.
Yeah.
The material gets sun damaged because camper vans, if it's a camper van with windows all in, you know, if it's been sat for a while, they're like goldfish bowls, aren't they?
Yeah,
have all the sun's rays beaming in and it will just deteriorate fabric. I mean, you've seen the bay window, the curtains are like string, aren't
they? It's not in the best of
yeah
sort of
so yeah, another example of somebody buying bought. But the advantages of buying a camper van is, especially if it's one that you've done your research on, you've had a decent budget for, you've got some advice from either another garage, another conversion company, or somebody who knows the vehicle and the vans and the conversions. The beauty of buying one that's already built is the fact that you can just get in it and go.
Well, that's one of the points, isn't it? If you go and buy a vehicle and you tax and insure it, you can ultimately go on holiday the next day.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're building one, depending on what spec and to what level and how much time you have, it could be months before you actually get out and use it. So, I mean, typically people build their vans over winter, but it's the whole, if you go and buy one, you know that you can go out tomorrow and start enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot to say for that, isn't
yeah.
there? Especially if you've, and I've seen this in this job over the last 4 years, people will definitely buy a built camper van. Say if the older ones, you want to buy a Westfalia because it's known, it's a good design, it's well built, etc. And because they live in London, the only place they can keep it is in like an underground garage somewhere, but they keep it prepped so they can just go. And
because
they live in London, they don't have a garage or the space or the time or the tools, nowhere to put it all, build that camper van. So it's very much down to your circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, we're quite lucky. We're in, I don't want to say small town, but we're not exactly in a city. We're more suburban than you know, fully city dwellers.
So
we do have, where we live, a bit of garage space, driveway space, garden space, whatever it may be. But then there was the option of renting a unit as well.
Yeah.
If you do, or even, you know, your local farmer, he might be very willing, and I've seen this a lot in the past as well, a local farmer willing to rent out a corner of that workshop or even the barn.
Yeah.
So you can modify, restore, build, or whatever it may be on your camper. Just be willing to face the cold.
Yeah. I mean, we've got one from our Patreon supporters here, Matt, and his is a really good one because it's something we hadn't particularly thought of until he mentioned it.
Yeah.
And he bought himself a T5.1 combi.
Yeah.
He needs a daily driver capable of transporting a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old safely. but have a load area to be utilised for DIY and sort of trips to B&Q.
Yeah.
And he basically bought it with the thought of, I want to build a camper.
Yeah.
He built one through the combi with a table and stuff to start going away with. And in case the family didn't enjoy it and it wasn't for them, he could still use it as a family car, which is a really interesting one.
Yeah.
So if you buy the right vehicle, like a T5 combi, yeah, it's a brilliant family car if you decide that it's not for you.
If camping's not for you. Yeah, no, that's a really, really good point. Because all of a sudden you might, and again, I've known people spending thousands on tents and camping equipment because the family have gone, we really need a camping holiday. Let's go do a camping holiday. And within the first night, you know, it's been torrential weather. No one's enjoyed it. Everyone's woken up on the floor because their inflatable mattress is deflated in the night. And they've gone, no. So, great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea. So, it's not built and it's not bought. It's almost half and half, just in case the family don't like it, with a reserve plan, almost a redundancy measure that if nobody likes camping in a van, then I just revert back to having a car again.
Yeah, and you don't have to sell it and then buy something again. And it's, and they are great family vehicles. You see a lot more people, especially the Transit Customs seems to be more popular now. You can get all the kids in the back because they have, what is it, 6 seats typically?
A Transit Custom combi van. With a half-decent spec is the same price as a high-spec Mondeo Estate, for example, or a C-Max MPV with all the bells and whistles. Yeah, it's got twice the load capacity, twice the space, and you know it will still fit in your garage or in an underground car park.
Yeah,
and you can, if you wanted to, you can convert it into a camper van.
You can. The long-term events of being able to convert it.
And for those who are business owners, you could potentially buy it on the business. You know, wait for the 3 years to be up, and it's written off or it's paid off or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden that you buy that vehicle off the company and convert it into your van. And again, I've heard of that a lot. Half the vans we've had in are nearly new because they've been part of the business. They whip the sign writing off and go, right, this is my car, I've bought it off the business now, I know its history,
yep,
I know it from day one, all the mileage that I've put on it is mine or my team's, whatever it is, and now we can go that in. But I think we're now delving into converting your own van, aren't we? So,
yeah.
Do we want to go over the pros and cons again, or have you got any more points there?
I mean, we've addressed most of them. I mean, when you're buying a vehicle new, what you see is sort of what you get. You'd hope, there's obviously a few exceptions that we talked about, but if you're buying it from a reputable company, you know what you're getting. I mean, we'll talk more about self-building today because there's more about it and there's more to consider, I think. I think what I've got is a few questions to sort of quick fire at you because I've tried to think of the questions that I was thinking when I started off, if I could do it, if I was able to do it. So if we go through those, that might answer a few questions people might be sat there thinking.
Quite excited.
It's a quiz, you will be scored and marked accordingly. What skills do you need to build a camper? Quite vague, but I think if you're sat there thinking, right, I can fix the sink when that leaks, and I can change the head of a plug. Does that mean I can build a camper?
The ability to use Google—that's the first skill you need.
Being able to research.
Being able to research. Yeah. I learnt a lot of what I know now through internet forums before Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook was a thing, and it was only through Google that I was able to find these pages, which were for my specific interest. And then I did a lot of reading and research. And then books, which helped me do that. And Google, you can quite literally, we're now 2021, and you can Google literally anything, can get a result within 3 milliseconds.
Yeah, yeah.
So skill number one is be able to use a computer and be able to read and look at pictures and take in information. That's a really good skill to have because, and this is what we're trying to help everybody do, there is loads of information out there to build basically anything you want, campers included.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to do. Again, for those who are listening to this podcast and don't know what else we do, the business we run and work in is Coombe Valley Campers, and we build and convert camper vans, and we also have a YouTube channel. And if you're watching this on YouTube right now, hello, how are you? Yes, we kind of lost my train of thought there. We're making these videos to help people build their own van. So first skill is to be able to look for and research exactly what you need to do.
Yeah.
You would need a basic knowledge of woodwork.
Yep.
A basic knowledge of mechanics. And just the ability to know one end of a spanner to the other, one end of a hammer to the other.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who will quite openly admit that they've built a camper van with no previous knowledge. And yeah. this is the whole, I think we've touched on this previously, was the whole van life thing. A couple will leave the race of the city. They'll jump out of whatever job they're doing, buy a van, build it, and then go and
yeah,
live
and I think,
the fun life.
Yeah, with Vodes as well. We see a lot of those videos, and you've got to be, if you're inexperienced with it, you've got to be ready to make a few mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of videos of those van life people on YouTube. Now, we've all seen it. They tell you how they built their van 1 week, and then 5 months later down the line, they're posting a video, the 10 things I did wrong with my van conversion, yeah. or the 10 things I did...
Why I hate van life.
Yeah, and it's just like... so, yes, listen to those people of how they've done it,
yeah.
but also be wary that they're not the industry experts, and their way of doing it might not necessarily be the easiest or the best way. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be a bit annoyed if I'd built my van following someone like that and then realised... 8 months down the line, they've given me a list of all the things I've done wrong. So
valid point. Choose your source of information carefully.
Yeah, and use a wide range of sources as well, because different people have different expert
for sure
areas as well. And there's so many different websites and there's forums. Be careful with the forums because they're not always experts as well. Anyone can sign up to a
very
forum.
True.
It's a bit like Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Anyone can put something on there. So have a look at a wide range of sources, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Is that going to answer that enough? Yeah, I guess. So, first skill, know what you are looking at, research what you're looking at,
yeah.
and then put those skills into practice, I guess. It's yeah. all about learning and researching, really.
I guess from a basic level as well, if you're one of these people that your house is kept by you, you do all the general DIY and all that side of things, I think that helps a lot. If you're getting a handyman every time you want to put a shelf up and stuff, maybe the pre-bought areas for you, because in terms of enjoying it as well.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily you can't do it. Are you going to enjoy doing it?
Mm.
Because it is a long process. It's not going to be a quick fix. You're not going to buy your van and do it overnight and think it's ready to go. It is a long sort of process to commit to.
Yeah, for sure. And also, be ready to admit when there's something that you can't do.
Yeah.
Now, I am the first one to stick my hand up and go, I can't do that. Do you see me filming this podcast? Do you see me filming our YouTube studio? No, because
yeah.
I don't know what to do. I
yeah.
wouldn't know the first thing about filming or editing.
Yeah.
So I get somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
Do I know, have I fitted windows in camper vans? Yes, I have. Have we done a video? No. Why? Because there's people out there who are loads better at it than me.
Yeah.
So when it comes to us filming window fitting guide on your van, I will take it to our friends who fit windows every single day. So
yeah.
yes, that is a
that's going on to another question in a second.
Okay, cool. So be ready to yeah. admit when there's something outside of your ability.
Yeah. So that actually is the next question is what would you leave if you're not experienced? So the first things I was thinking of, the three main ones is gas,
mm-hmm.
electrics.
So we're talking about converting a van.
Yeah, so
these skills or the things that you would hand over to somebody else?
Yeah, so if you were converting a van and there was something... So, for example, if I was converting a van and mm-hmm. I got to carpeting,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, I've never done this before, still give it a go. You're not
yeah.
going to do any damage or hurt anyone by putting some carpet up. And ultimately,
yeah.
if it goes wrong, you can rip it off. Fitting a gas system, electrics, if it goes wrong, there could be a bit of damage there.
Fatal consequences.
Potential
yeah.
Yeah, injuries and
yeah.
so forth. So it was... What the jobs on a camper van that if you weren't confident about doing it, that don't try and just sort of push to going towards a company to do those parts for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll definitely just concentrate on converting a van because
yeah.
obviously there's looking after a van and a body and paint, all that sort of stuff. When it comes to converting a van, I think you could, with a basic knowledge and some basic tools, you can do 90% of what's needed on a van. And that includes cutting a hole in the roof for a skylight. That includes fitting a window.
Yeah.
There's so many guides out there. However, gas and electricity
yeah.
are the two things that I would definitely hand over to an expert or a professional or somebody qualified, tested, whatever it may be. Now, I delved into this a little bit on one of our Q&As recently that I do our gas fitting. and our 240 volt, mainly because I've had training in both. I was a qualified electrician at one point in my life, and I used to deal with high voltage engine, you know, electricity. But everything that leaves here will have a certificate to say that it's been done right
in
terms of gas and 240 volt, because that is our responsibility as a converter. Now, I'm not an accredited gas fitter who can sign something off. I will quite happily bring somebody in once that is fitted, and we will do tests before we even show it to a fitter, somebody certified to test and give a certificate out. But yes, 240 volt can be lethal. Gas can be lethal, especially with carbon monoxide poisoning. Carbon monoxide, dioxide, I can never get that right.
I feel I should have listened in science a bit more now, but that's me.
No, they've got carbon dioxide detectors in vans, right?
One of the carbons.
One of the carbons, one of the oxides. Yes, things like that. If they're not done right, then absolutely.
Yeah.
And which is why you won't see us as a YouTube channel giving you a how-to on 240 volt or gas.
Yeah.
Not gonna.
Yeah.
Sorry. If people want it, go and seek the advice from somebody else. Now, there are people out there who will supply you with kits to do your own 240, but there is, I'm sure, a disclaimer to say, you know, it's up to you.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on the kits you're buying as well will help out. Like, when you're buying a kit from, the correct source, like we use Rain Automotive, and they're really good at their build safe kits.
Yeah.
If you're buying the components raw or
from eBay
for 60 quid less than the general manufacturer, you've got to sort of ask a few questions on its build quality and who's putting it together. And the other one I was thinking that falls into that category is potentially any sort of like crash tested beds or beds that are going to have seat belts.
Yes, if you can, obviously when it comes to beds, and we will do an entire episode on beds one day with a bed manufacturer. We choose to use a manufacturer called Rusty Lee for good reason, because he's got one of, if not the safest bed system in the UK, certified, because it's TÜV tested in Germany. It was tested in Germany. So yes, we will do another episode. But yeah, if you're not competent with following instructions to fit a crash tested bed, then absolutely get a specialist conversion company to fit that, or the actual manufacturers themselves.
Yeah.
And which is what a lot of Lee does that as well. He's got the fitting facility at his.
And it's for your own benefit as well. You don't want to be going away and worrying that every time you break the bed, you're looking behind that the bed's going to do.
And we've seen some nasty bed installs and some seatbelt installs and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you don't want that worrying. The same with the electrics. You don't want to worry every time you put the plug on that it's going to spark somewhere and you're going to lose all your fuses. So it's for your own benefit to hand those things over to professionals. And there's companies that will do add those on. Like we do it all the time. We've got a gentleman coming in the next month or so that we're just doing the electrics for. Mm-hmm. He's building the cabinets, he's doing the floor, he's doing the insulation, he's doing the rest of it because he wants to do his own build. But he's gone, right guys, can you do the electrics for me? Yeah. I'm not happy with it. And that's absolutely the right thing to do. The third one.
Just going to say, crikey.
Yeah, I know. Is what tools will I need to build a camper van?
It's a very open question.
Yeah.
Depends what you're going to make. I would say, do you know what? I'm going to leave that to an episode another day.
Yeah.
But for the, because at the minute we're only looking into sort of the pros and cons of self build and everything else. But I will leave that entirely for another episode. So I'm not going to give you an answer to that.
Okay.
For good reason.
In terms of a general, if someone's looking at, right, if I buy one or build one to the similar spec, two T5s exactly the same, if I build it or if I buy it.
Yeah.
Is it worth the time and extra for the potential saving, or
are we talking about resale value, or actually in terms of how much it costs?
Your cost.
I think I'm going to answer that leading into the pros and cons of building your own.
Yeah.
How's that? So, because it's a big question, because, and again, it's what we touched on last time. You can, if you're resourceful and clever, or you're in a form of trade, you can build a camper van for not a lot of money at all.
Yeah.
And it could still be, if you've spent good time on it and you're meticulous with your detail, you can build an exceptional vehicle, home on wheels, in brackets, through not very expensive materials. And that could be worth more to somebody. Value at the end of the day is quite individual, I would say.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. The general question is it worth more as a built or a bought? If you're buying a brand new camper van off the forecourt that's been built, and I've seen T5s, T6s go upwards of 90K, believe it or not, are you going to keep that value on that vehicle forever? No.
No.
Whereas if you buy a T5 or a 3-year-old T6, that you've converted yourself, will that be worth more to you to sell in the future? More than likely. if you've done a nice job. But no, I guess that will lead us on to the pros and cons of actually building your own van yourself.
I guess that's individual to who's doing it as well, because it's a whole sort of like cost versus time. Mm-hmm. If you've got the money there but don't necessarily have the time, or you can go to work and earn more than what it would be to go and get someone else to build it, I guess that where it makes sense to sort of ship it off to someone else. But if you're thinking there, right, I've got a budget of say £10,000, the van that you could buy for £10,000, you could probably build yourself a better version of it by doing it yourself, because you're not paying for that other person or company's labour.
Again, I think better version is down to you, you know, down to opinion.
Your skill. I think
you would be able to build a equally well-equipped van for cheaper. Let's say that.
Yeah.
So you've got... It's difficult, isn't it? Like, and I wanna move into that now, is the pros and cons, really, of the building versus just buying one. It's completely up to you. You've got a blank canvas when you buy a base van, an old work van, a brand new van from whichever manufacturer you choose. You've got a complete blank canvas to do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons you might buy a camper, and that is what was touched on quite a lot by our followers in the last podcast, is the freedom.
Yeah.
Now, people want the freedom of a camper van, and they also want the freedom to build it in exactly the way they want to. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, we know that everybody's needs and requirements are different, and we build a van for them. We don't have a series of three vans in five different colours and ship them out because everyone's got their different requirements. And I think that's great, because you can have... We keep going back to T5s, but they're one of the most common. So apologies if you're not listening regarding a T5. It's just that, they're one of the most common vans to get converted. You can buy a T5, short or long wheelbase, and build a single berth camper van and hold your motorbike in it.
Yeah.
What you could also do with that vehicle is put cab bunks in it, make it a six berth with the addition of a pop top, and, you know, take your whole family out camping as well. So there's so many different things you can do, and can you do that when buying new? I don't think there is. And there's the other main thing, I guess, is it's having the freedom to build what you want to.
Yeah, and touching on that, we've got one of our Patreon supporters here who's actually gone for that sort of route, and it's Matthew Davey, who came to our show we had.
That's right. Hello, Matthew. How are you?
We've seen the van, and he's done a very good
blinding job
for his first conversion. It's amazing. And he wanted a camper van because he's into his mountain biking, and his mountain bikes are quite expensive.
Yeah.
And most of the off-the-shelf campers he found was, it'd be the standard sort of rock and roll bed, side interior, and the bikes would be stored on a bike rack on the back.
Yeah.
Now, when you've got a bike that's £1,000 to £2,000, even more sometimes, you don't want to leave it on the back of a bike rack with a £20 lock. So he wanted to build something in his van that he could keep everything inside and still use it as a camper van.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of the main things. If you've got a purpose of your vehicle to as a protective item as well, you can keep that safe.
And we featured items on the channel like that as well. You know, the mountain bike storage. If you want to keep that mountain bike inside, you can safely. Can you keep it safe on the roof? Probably a bit safer than on hanging off the back of a tow bar, you know.
Yeah.
It's the individuality. And I guess, gosh, that's going real deep, isn't it? A camper van is an expression of your individuality, depending on how you build it.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, do you want to be that person who buys a camper van off the shelf and, you know, keeps up with the Joneses because you've got this nice shiny thing?
Yeah.
Or do you want to almost hark back to Woodstock days and hippie days and have whatever you're driving or whatever you're camping or living in be an extension of your personality?
Yeah.
And your skill set and your design and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about building anything yourself, be it your home, your camper van, whatever it may be. It is that extension of you that will come out in the final finished product, isn't it, really? Yeah. That's one of the things.
I think that's one that is almost one of the most important ones, isn't it?
Yeah. It's,
you are putting your stamp on that vehicle,
yep.
you feel almost more connected to it in that way, mm-hmm. because you know that the back of that van looks how it did when you bought it, and now you've created it into something that's so much more and can now have these amazing memories with your family
yep.
and your friends, and you can go places you never dreamed of.
And those vans are the ones I build, I enjoy building the most, because yeah. we can build a generic grey on grey on grey camper van and ship out a nice T5 Transit Custom, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But when a customer, we have deep conversations with a customer and I say, I actually really want this design because it reminds me of X. The curtains I want to match with the paint, and you know, I want to have, we had somebody who we ripped out the old interior, built a new one from an existing camper van, but we retained elements such as the sink, the hob, the yeah. bottle opener, you know, the mirror, the vanity mirror. And it's little elements like that. It's an extension of that previous van character, or whatever yeah, it may yeah. be, that person's character. I really, really enjoy those builds, especially sitting down with someone, speaking to them about what they really want from it, and it really is an extension of them. And I guess that is, I guess that's the biggest pro, isn't it, of self-building your own van. It's the reward yeah. at the end of it all.
Yeah.
You know, I think once you've put your heart, soul, your money, your time into that, to have it, to then have that ability to whisk you away to wherever you want and you can live out that freedom, is, there's nothing better, is there?
Yeah.
You know, you have that vision of hashtag van life, and you're working hard towards that goal, and then all of a sudden you might find yourself on, you know, the south coast of France, or you know, the coast road, the old Italy to France coast road, in the camper van that you built yourself, enjoying the dream. And it's what I've done. It's why yep. I wanted to start the business. I think, yes, it's cheaper. Yes, it's more hard work. And, you know, you can go through some pain and anguish and everything whilst building a camper van. But ultimately, it is giving you that freedom. And the reward is, at the end of it, that van that you can go and take away, isn't it? I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good way to end there, I think.
Yeah. So, romantically speaking, I guess it's a really nice thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's something you've always wanted to do or not. Yeah, it's why I really like the job. It's why I really like to go out camping, because you're living one of our, we came up with a slogan, didn't we? Building the dream camper van and living the van life.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what everybody ultimately wants to do, isn't it? They want to build their dream and then go live it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no discouraging buying one either, because that's just
different circumstances. It's absolutely different circumstances. And I guess what we've spoken about today helps.
I hope
what we've spoken about today helps you listening at the end of this. It helps you decide and choose what you want at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. We're trying to come to a conclusion now, but we can't, because it is so individual.
Yeah.
And what we've tried to do is give people questions to ask themselves whether which route is best for them. So, yeah, I think we've addressed most of
I think so. If anybody would like to add to that, please do. You know, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's a comment section down below. Or if you want to get in touch with us personally, you can email us. We're at info@coonvalleycampers.co.uk. We love to hear from you. And we love your support also, even if it's down to a rating or a review on the podcast. We're now on all the platforms now, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. We're on all. And so we've now got that ability to have reviews have reviews on the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you enjoyed it and you want to leave a review or a criticism, either way, then we are listening with open ears.
And I think as well, sharing it with people that may be thinking about getting into the camper van life as well. If you know someone who has always thought, oh, I'd like to do that as well, and you know they're out there, send it over to them, and we'll really appreciate it.
If this has convinced you and now all you've got to do is convince your better half, then send this podcast over to them. And if they've got some time to sit down and listen with a cup of coffee and their headphones in or whatever it is, then please do. But thank you for joining us today, Dan. Thank you for the series of questions as well. I think we've covered most of the pros and cons.
Yeah, we've covered all the points. A few bullet points, and I think we've gone above and beyond those. The only one we haven't talked about, and I think it's a podcast for another day, is sort of potentially reclassifying vehicles and stuff, which I think
we will look into that another day
because there's so much to do about that, and that's a
absolutely. So there we go. This is episode 3. This is the campervan cast, and today we've been chatting about the pros and cons of buying a built campervan versus self-building your own campervan. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've certainly enjoyed talking about it. This is our third attempt at recording it because there's lots of different things that have got in our way, isn't
yeah.
it? So I'm very happy with the conclusion today. We've had lots of fun and I hope you have too. So Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you. Cheers.
It's really good. Cheers, man. All right. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.